You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It is time to get up with a Monday massacre. Should we just give the crown to KD and company right now? We'll begin there. Then, today, the first day of the rest of your life in Green Bay. The work is mandatory. The quarterback isn't coming. So what happens next? We've got the answers. And why this slumping superstar might just be the key to the entire NFL season. All that and more as we get up with you. Starting right now, Greeny in New York, delighted that you were there and delighted this company has chosen to join us this morning as well. You want football insight? We've got it. The insiders, Shefty and Diana, are here. Teddy and Timmy breaking it down. We'll get to all of that in a moment, but it begins with the statement of the night. Holy smoke. Nets, Bucks, game two. No James Harden, no problem, because KD and Kyrie were ready to go. And I mean ready from the jump. Look at KD working on Giannis. Crosses him over, knocks it down. Durant, the walking bucket. Later in the first, Nets up 10. Kyrie Irving getting into the act. Nets shot 52% from the floor for the game. They had a 17-point lead. Oh, you want high percentage shots? Watch Blake Griffin. Oh, he throws it down right in the face of Giannis. Everything going the Nets' way. They lead by 21 a minute later. Nets up 22. It's KD. He was 4 of 6 from 3. The Nets made 21 threes. Harden is laughing. Third quarter, time winding down. Durant, again, working on Giannis. Kevin Durant, oh, that's nifty. He had 32 and didn't play in the fourth quarter. In that fourth, it's Kyrie this time. He had 22 only because he didn't need more. Nets, not by as many as 49 in this game. They take a 2-0 lead with an absolute laugher. In fact, the dominance was historic. The 39-point margin of victory, the largest in franchise history. Moreover, their lead of 49 during the game, their largest in any game over the last 25 seasons. And here he is, Jay Will, KJZ, ESPN Radio, every weekday morning. Jay, what the actual heck? Why was that so easy last night?
You can say lack of sense of urgency, but Greeny, this is a coaching issue for this team. Like, I'm going directly there. In the opening minutes of this game, you play this team zone. The Brooklyn Nets are the second best three-point shooting team in the NBA behind the Clippers. They have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. You cannot give them open looks. They were down 49 points in this game. 49 points. So when I look at the collapses that they've had over the last several years, you know, losing 4-1 and getting beat down by the Miami Heat last year, 2 years before that, you talk about losing to the Toronto Raptors, you know, four games in two. It's embarrassing. And for this team, they need to get it together. But we were already talking about Coach Bud potentially being gone, even if Brooklyn had won this series, if it was tight. It's looking like he's going to be out. It looks like they're going to need somebody else to help this team get over the hump.
All right, so let me hold on a second. Let's go backwards before we go forwards. Is this over? I mean, can Milwaukee make this a series?
The buck stop here, in my opinion. I mean, it feels like it's over. I'm not saying it's over, but it sure as hell feels like it's over.
Yeah, because, I mean, we've seen these massacres and then things turn around and teams make comebacks and whatever it is. But there's no obvious reason to think that's going to happen here at all, right? It just appears so totally one-sided. The Nets are doing this without one member of their big three.
I'm going to say it to you again. We talked about this like this is supposed to be the best matchup in the playoffs
right.
This year, right?
Yeah.
49 points. Just let that sit for 1 second, Greeny. I know we don't like silence on the show. 49 points in a playoff game where Giannis is going against Kevin Durant. This is different.
Well, that's what I mean. So does that mean that the Nets are just going to rampage through this entire postseason? Is this just a coronation? Because I will not lie to you. Last night, as one who has loved the sport my entire life, made me a little nervous that we may get no drama the rest of the way.
Can you have a quick story time with Uncle Jay?
Yes, I would love to.
So a couple years ago, we're at a holiday party, and I came on this show, and I did a segment with you, and I said we had Anthony Davis and we had Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
I said, you know what, Anthony Davis and KD would have a baby. The similarities physicality-wise would be like Giannis, right? I go to the holiday party. Kevin Durant comes up to me and says, yo, don't you ever, ever compare me to Giannis. Don't you ever compare me to Giannis. I said, KD, what are you talking about? You know, I was just talking about similarities, physicality-wise, size, length. He's like, no, don't you ever compare me to Giannis. So when I see that matchup, you know what that matchup says to me? That's something personal for Kevin Durant. That's who he's attacking each and every day. Because that's been in his brain. Because people have talked about Giannis being on the same level. That's the kind of intensity you're seeing in this rivalry.
Oh, that's a very interesting story. And it does lead me to one other question that I think we can spend a little more time on going forward if it goes this way. And that is, how much of this is on Giannis? It's one thing to blame the coach. And I'm with you 100%. But how much of it is on Giannis?
Well, look, I've stopped expecting Giannis to be a Kevin Durant or a LeBron James. I've always called Giannis a skinny version of Shaquille O'Neal on the wing to a degree, right? I think a lot of this falls on, we talk about, hey, who can help take this team to the next level? Chris Middleton makes that clutch shot to help them get out of that first game against Miami. You need Chris Middleton to be special. You need your next guy to be different. And he's only shooting 31% from the field. He hasn't knocked down any shots. So you need other guys to step up. It is on Giannis, too. And it's also in the organization. At the end of the day, Giannis has to think about, hey, can we win a championship here? Because Philadelphia is really good. Brooklyn Nets are really good. Atlanta's coming. The Knicks are here. A lot of teams in the East are coming up. And Milwaukee, it's not looking good.
All right. It's certainly not last night. Nothing looked good at all. Jay Will, every weekday morning, KJZ on ESPN Radio. Jay, thanks.
You got it, brother.
In the meantime, NFL, huge day. Mandatory minicamps beginning in so many places, including Tampa, as the Buccaneers look to become the ninth repeat champion in NFL history. Tom Brady actually is the last to do it with the Patriots in 03 and 04. We'll be live at their camp later today. The Giants are hoping to end a four-year playoff drought with Daniel Jones under center. They signed Kenny Golladay. They'll have Saquon Barkley back from injury. They get to work today. Also returning to full strength, the Dallas Cowboys. We'll talk about them. Dak Prescott back with a new four-year, $160 million extension after the gruesome injury last October. And then, of course, the Packers, who expect today to be without Aaron Rodgers. Our Adam Schefter has reported that Green Bay does not expect Rodgers to attend their three-day camp. He's liable to be fined upwards of $90,000 for his absence. And I just happen to have Adam Schefter live with us this morning. Schefty, thanks for getting up here. What is the latest on this daily drama of Aaron Rodgers and the saga in Green Bay?
Well, Greeny, let's start with the big headline. He's not expected to be there today. And as it was told to me yesterday, Aaron Rodgers is, quote unquote, as strong as hell on this. Now, you take that for whatever it means, but there are little morsels of information that trickle in. That one trickled in yesterday, him feeling the way he does, feeling as strong as he does, and that tells you a lot at this point in time. Keep in mind, he was willing to forego a $500,000, $500,000 workout bonus to attend the OTAs. He didn't attend them. Now he would be eligible to be fined over $93,000 for not being at the mandatory minicamp, which he has always attended. He's not going to be there today for that. The Green Bay Packers could make it, and I would think they will do this, him an excused absence, meaning that they would not have to fine him $93,085. Now, some people might say, well, you're creating a bad precedent. Well, yes, you are creating a precedent, but you are creating a precedent with a future Hall of Fame quarterback, and that's better than further straining a relationship when you're trying to convince a player who right now doesn't seem interested in returning to Green Bay to come back to that spot. But again, Rodgers not expected to be there. The Packers have another situation on their hands. I think they're prepared for the long haul in this. In fact, I even was told yesterday that the Packers are prepared to make another run at him and go try to meet with him again after this mandatory minicamp, that the general manager, the president, could be headed out to try to meet with him again to try to convince him yet again, as they've tried to do throughout the offseason to no avail, to come back. Now, again, put this all together. How does this sound to you? We're into June. They've been trying to get him back since February. Nothing's changed, Greeny.
Correct. But the really important stuff starts today, and then it gets more important next month. So, Schefty, you say they are inclined maybe to excuse the absence. They're inclined to go out and meet with him. Is there any indication they are inclined to consider trading him?
As of this point, the Packers have been firm in their stance that they won't trade him. But what I could see to you there, Greeny, is I can remember John Gruden at one point in the offseason saying, we will not trade Khalil Mack, only to see them trade Khalil Mack on Labor Day. And I think this is a situation here where Aaron Rodgers feels very strong in his beliefs, and he's made it pretty clear that he's not pleased with the relationships of various people in that organization. And I think, and again, this has been floated out there, that he does not want to go in there and help this team win when it makes other people look good. He has the ability to make people look good as great quarterbacks do. Why does he want to do that for people that he does not want to make any look any better than they already have?
That's when things have taken a turn from which they very seldom recover. Let me come over here and bring Teddy and Timmy into the conversation as well. Teddy Bruschi, Tim Hasselbeck. Teddy, you're sitting, you're listening to all of this. I'm trying to read the look on your face. What do you think of the situation with Rodgers as of right now?
Oh, man, it's when a certain person like Aaron Rodgers digs his heels in, you just got to know that it's not going to happen. And Mark Murphy was talking about division between the fan base. You want to start to talk about division. The division is going to happen with the players in the locker room to the people that work upstairs in terms of now you're going to bring the circus into town by making this go on longer and longer. And it's hard because as a player, you understand that they have to do everything they possibly can to bring him back. But what Adam's saying, the way that Aaron feels, his teammates that have talked to him probably know the same thing. So they know, why don't you just let him go? He's not coming back because now what you're doing is, I mean, you are preventing us from moving on and trying to win football games. So there is a whole different dilemma in terms of players and having to deal with the circus that this brings to Green Bay and having a season that you have to get ready for. So it's just tough as a player in that locker room dealing with this.
Now, Tim Hasselbeck, you have from the beginning of this been telling me you believe when push comes to shove, he will play there this year. Do you still feel that way?
I do, because I don't know how you trade a quarterback that's thrown 99 touchdowns and 11 interceptions over the last 3 years. Like, what's the compensation for that? He has been so good that what the Green Bay Packers are going to want in return, like, I don't know that anybody can give them. And so, I have hated the Brett Favre, you know, parallels throughout this entire process, because I don't think that there have been many that are actually accurate. But I think in terms of where this could head is back when, you know, Brad Childress got on a flight with Ryan Longwell and Steve Hutchinson to go convince Brett Favre to come play for the Vikings. Like, that's, I think, the only way this gets resolved. If guys like Devontae Adams are on a plane, you know, with other players that have good relationships with Aaron Rodgers to say, listen, we understand why you're mad. We get why you're mad. But kind of to Teddy's point there, where the players in that relationship having to be stronger than the animosity that Aaron has towards the front office for how he feels like he's been betrayed, that relationship being stronger than how angry he is, I think is the only way it gets resolved, but I do think it will.
Go ahead, Shefty.
Well, Tim, let me just say this, that number one, no, they don't want to trade him. They made it very clear. And when you say, what is the compensation for a guy like that? Well, for Green Bay, there's not enough. For other teams, they can't give up too much. So that's not the issue. The issue becomes, does this continue to drag on? Is he, as people say, quote unquote, strong as hell on this? And if he continues not to give in and refuses to go back, then how does Green Bay handle it over time? And does the Packers stance change then? Right now, no. They have no intention of trading him. They're not interested. And that may not change at all. But again, at some point, if it gets into the stare down that it looks like could happen in early June, then that becomes destructive to the Green Bay Packers. And at some point, maybe you're best off cutting your losses then.
All right, we will see.
But in terms of being destructive to the Packers, yeah.
Timmy, we're going to come back to this in like 15 minutes.
They're a Super Bowl contending team with him.
Yeah, clearly. Let me leave it here for the minute. We're going to come back to this, and we're going to go live to Green Bay today. There will be plenty of time to try and get to the bottom of this mess, which does not appear any closer to being resolved. In the meantime, we also have this. Julio Jones moving less than 4 hours from Atlanta to Nashville, but he still could experience culture shock. We'll explain why the transition could be challenging. Plus, for Dak to have a big 21, he needs Zeke to be Zeke. Will he be? We'll answer that question and more as we get up with you on ESPN.
Pat- Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back, and Get Up is brought to you by Marvel Studios' Loki. Don't miss the original series streaming this Wednesday only on Disney+. Back to NBA action from last night. Game one, Suns hosting the Nuggets. Devin Booker arriving in style. His team would fall behind early, but then he starts bringing them back. Suns down nine, but not for long. In the third quarter, that's Mikal Bridges knocking down a corner three. He had a game-high 23 for the Suns. Later in the third, Suns up a deuce. It's Booker on the pull-up. They end the third on a 25-7 run. Take a nine-point lead. Fourth quarter, Suns starting to pull away. Chris Paul putting the three in CP3. He had 14 in the fourth, 6 of 6 from the floor later in the fourth. Suns now blowing it open. They're up by 16. Cameron Payne, throw it up. Torrey Craig, throw it down. Craig was traded from the Nuggets to the Suns this season. He was feeling good about it last night. Phoenix wins 122-105. And since bouncing back from his shoulder injury, Chris Paul has been fantastic. Last night it was his ninth playoff game with 20 points, 10 assists, and one or fewer turnovers. That passes LeBron James for the most in playoff history since they started tracking that stat in the late 70s. All right, back to the NFL and recapping the big news of the weekend, the Titans trading a pair of draft picks to the Falcons for Julio Jones, who will play this season at 32. He's coming off a year in which he played only 9 games, his fewest since 2013. But Vegas liked the deal. After the trade, the Titans' odds to win the Lombardi Trophy next season stepped up dramatically, according to Caesars Sportsbook. They go from 35-1 to 30-1 now. And it was Diana Russini who broke that story over the weekend. And here she is getting up with us this morning with Teddy and Tim. So, Diana, now that we've all had a moment to digest, what are the important things we should know about Julio Jones in Tennessee?
Hey, good morning, everybody. So Julio Jones was in Nashville yesterday. He flew in, greeted by GM John Robinson, who orchestrated this entire deal. He made this happen. He was able to get the Atlanta Falcons to meet him halfway. We all know in a trade, someone's got to give a little. Both sides wound up giving here. So yesterday, Julio attended the team meeting. I spoke to a couple of players about that meeting. What was it like? They said, it's kind of the same as usual. You know, obviously, Coach Vrabel made the announcement that they traded for Julio, but there was no big presentation or show that didn't make Julio stand up. He did fly out of there and is no longer in Nashville, but they do expect him to attend minicamp next week. So he'll take his physical on Monday and be out in practice on Tuesday and Wednesday if all goes well. So obviously a really good start for Julio Jones in Tennessee if he shows up at practice in June.
All right, and so Tim Hasselbeck, look, I mean, we all look at the names on the backs of the jerseys, and they sound awfully good, and that team getting off the bus is going to be about as intimidating as any team you could ever imagine with AJ and Derrick Henry and Julio, but you have concerns. What are they?
Well, I have a couple concerns. One, you know, receiver wasn't their big issue. They were awful on third down last year. In fact, you know, Hembo sent me a note saying the worst third down defense in the NFL over the last 30 years. Basically, they were giving up, you know, it was a 50-50 proposition if their defense could get off the field. That's why they've remade the quarterback position or the cornerback position. So that is the number one issue, I think, for them going forward. The other aspect of it is this. It's a different game if you're Julio Jones. You go to an offense with those other impressive players, Greeny, Derrick Henry, and A.J. Brown. Well, what does the volume of targets look like? You know, Julio's had a career where, you know, he's used to seeing over 150 targets a season. He's been targeted more than any player in NFL history in terms of per game average, nearly 10 targets per game. Well, what's it going to feel like when you get three balls thrown your way and A.J. Brown goes off or Derrick Henry goes off and maybe your team doesn't win. Managing that, I think, is a little bit of an issue, as we've seen throughout history with wide receivers who are used to seeing the ball thrown their way.
That makes a lot of sense. But Teddy Bruschi, I think you know who you at least believe is going to be the answer to that problem.
Yeah, John Robinson did his job, like Russini's talking about, and getting Julio there. Now it's time for Mike Vrabel to do his. And I played for a coach by the name of Bill Parcells, and I played with Mike Vrabel, and Mike Vrabel reminds me a lot of Bill Parcells and how you manage players, you manage their expectations, you manage their roles, how many times they practice. If you have to hold them back, you hold them back, but you come to an understanding with the player, basically this is what I need from you. Can you do this? We've got a great chance to win a championship, but I need you to be this type of guy. So, the head coach managing who the player is, what his expectations are, that's going to be a key to Julio Jones in this offense. Mike Vrabel is the exact guy that can reach him on so many different levels because I've seen him do it in the past, and that's going to be a key relationship for the Tennessee Titans to have success.
Diana?
Yeah, Greeny, I actually called Bill Parcells to get his thoughts about this move, and he believes that Mike Vrabel is the perfect coach for a guy like Julio Jones. And the point was made, not only, Daddy, why are you laughing at me? The point was made that you have Mike Vrabel, who's won 3 Super Bowl rings. He's played on a team with a lot of superstars. But there's another point here. Mike Vrabel was traded in his 13th season from the Patriots to the Kansas City Chiefs and knows what it's like to have to start over a bit and be at a new team with a new culture. So there's going to be a little bit of understanding there from their head coach, which I think can help the situation. But going back to a little bit about what Tim was saying to Greeny about what this offense is going to look like, right? We know Derrick Henry isn't going anywhere, but if you remember the game against the Ravens in the playoffs, A.J. Brown wasn't doing too much. Corey Davis was injured a bit. They were stopping Derrick Henry. They had one of their smaller receivers pushed off the ball by Marcus Peters, who came up with an interception. Game over. That has stuck in the memory of this Titans team. You add Julio Jones now, maybe that doesn't happen.
Yeah, people don't tend to do that to Julio. Let me break quickly on that thought. We have a whole lot more to do as we continue getting up with you this morning here on the way. As the Packers begin camp without their superstar, who is most to blame for the mess that is this situation? We'll let you decide. And then, while Kevin Durant and the Nets were overwhelming last night, we will tell you why just maybe the entire NBA needs to be very concerned. It's on the way. Get up, ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up and back to the story of the year. Sources telling Adam Schefter, Aaron Rodgers, not expected to be with the Packers when they open minicamp today. This would be the first time in Rodgers' career that he has skipped the mandatory minicamp, which begins today. We will go live there later. We had Schefty live earlier. We have Diana Russini as part of the crew here now. Diana, I want to go back to where we were with Schefty at the beginning of this hour. Rodgers is as dug in as ever. Where are the Packers on this? What is their approach, and from the front office perspective, as their team takes the field?
Yeah, Schefty did an amazing job painting a picture of really where Aaron Rodgers is at right now, which is pretty dug in on all of this. Well, the Green Bay Packers have really moved forward in terms of the coaching element of this, of trying to get Jordan Love ready. They're giving him all the tools. They're working with him on game management, all those little details that he needs to get caught up on because he doesn't have that game time experience. And this doesn't mean that the Green Bay Packers are giving up on Aaron Rodgers. They're just smart to think, if Aaron decides to come back and perhaps sit out, we're going to have to go to Jordan Love here, and he's going to be our starting quarterback. So while this is all a big distraction, and we're talking about it every day on the show, where is Aaron Rodgers? Will he return? The sense I get from talking to players, even players on defense, about just what's the vibe there, they keep explaining, we're kind of just going about this as if Jordan's the guy for now until Aaron shows up. And there are some players who have shared with me, they think it could happen. That has changed. I've heard some players say to me before in the past, no way, he's gone. I can talk, there have been some that have shared that they think he'll return. So I think now, Greeny, we just sit and wait.
Okay, and so as we sit and wait, Teddy, you've been pretty unwavering in your stance that once it gets to these quarterbacks, no disrespect intended here, Tim, but once it gets to these quarterbacks and their egos and their emotions, when they dig in, they don't undig. Is that your expectation with Aaron here?
That's what I see with him. I can see him getting more irritated as this goes longer and longer, because the way that he is, I want to start learning a new offense. I want to start being with my new teammates. But, man, I want to win a championship if I'm a Green Bay Packers player. This is where the conflict's coming in, which I'm having difficulty explaining, because it's like I'm a player and I want to win. So go ahead and do everything you can to get him back, because I don't care if it's the week before the opener. Just get him back any way you can. But then you got to deal with this circus, which is us, and talking about it and dealing about being asked every week, what if he walks through that door? When do you think he's coming? Have you talked to Aaron? What's Jordan Love look like? And that's the other thing of it. It's not fair to Jordan Love, because now you're in mini camps and players are actually in a mode where you're sitting on your knee and you're watching Jordan Love. He throws a pick. It's like, oh, man, we got to get Aaron back. And he does something well. You're almost critically looking at Jordan Love through a different lens, because you're our guy if Aaron's not here. So, oh, yeah, by the way, I got to learn to play my position to win championships and win a football game. Everything's going on with those players in the locker room mentally. All the distractions that you don't want, they're just endless if you're a Green Bay Packer player.
All right, Tim, and again, you remain on that island of believing that Aaron is going to come back, and you were starting to explain why when we ran out of time earlier. What is your thinking?
Here's the deal. Teddy's right. Quarterbacks are super sensitive. Quarterbacks and offensive linemen are really sensitive. So Teddy's right, like, you dig in, you're going to hold that grudge, all of that. At the same time, Aaron knows that how well he's playing right now. And Aaron is not going to sit out and forego an opportunity to win a championship. I just don't think that he's going to do that. You saw the conflict in Teddy trying to explain it. Teddy's got that same blood running in his veins of wanting to be a champion. That's why I think this ends up with Aaron going back to Green Bay. There's not a landing spot anymore, I don't believe. Prior to the draft, San Francisco was the landing spot where he could go and help them win a championship. But now as we sit here, where are the landing spots? Is it really Denver? Like, is that really the spot? Is it Las Vegas? Is he going to win a championship there? I think when push comes to shove, the best chance for Aaron to win a championship is with the Green Bay Packers. And so that is what he wants to do. So between the relationship that he has with the players there, which I believe is strong, and in part because of what Teddy was just describing about good players that Aaron is close with, that they want to win a championship, Aaron's desire to win a championship, I think that can supersede, you know, the distaste that he has in his mouth about being betrayed by the front office.
And Teddy, I've got 20 seconds. I just want to ask you directly, because at some point this gets really real. The mini camp is one thing, but when it gets to training camp, if they haven't traded him as we get closer to the season and he really faces the option of just sitting out the season, do you believe he's the kind of person who will do that?
Well, I'll answer it in form of another. I'll answer that question with a question. Is Aaron Rodgers the type of guy that would say, I was wrong, and then I come back in and I play and all of this? That's just the thing. I don't know if he's that type of player. This guy takes things personal. These type of quarterbacks take things personal. So for Aaron to come in and say, I was wrong and okay, let's go play. Man, I don't know if that would happen.
I agree with you. That's why I keep saying I don't see it happening one way or another. Unless something substantial changes, I find it almost impossible to picture him playing there again. All right, hold this thought, guys. We're coming back much more on the NFL. We'll go live to Green Bay as the day continues. But that was the good news in the state of Wisconsin yesterday, comparatively speaking. Let me run the floor of the closer game in the NBA playoffs last night. We showed you a few minutes ago complete highlights. Suns beat the Nuggets. They came from 10 down in the third with a 34-9 run and ultimately won it 122-105. Chris Paul had 14 points in the fourth. So Phoenix takes game one. And then what I was referring to, I mean, the performance of the Milwaukee Bucks yesterday made the Aaron Rodgers thing seem like moonlight and roses. Just total domination. The Nets embarrassed them 125-86. And if it can be said this way, it wasn't nearly that close. It wasn't nearly as close as the 39-point final score would indicate. KD had 32 and didn't play the fourth quarter. Kyrie had 22. And that's only because he didn't need to score any more than that. And so PJ and Big Perk get up with us here early this morning. And Big Perk, you told me on the radio a couple of weeks ago, Milwaukee is going to beat the Nets. They're going to come out of the East. Do you still feel that way?
No. And I'm so mad at myself, Greeny, for the simple reason is that I didn't stick to what I believed in, okay? I let people fool me with the two-time MVP. I let people fool me that Giannis got better. I let people fool me that he's the defensive player of the year. Because of the fact of the matter is this. He is who he is, and he's going to continue to show us that he's not a number one option guy. And right now, Kevin Durant is spanking Giannis and got him over his lap and giving him a straight spanking. And when you look at it, he's having deer sausage and deer stew. He's doing whatever he wants to Giannis and locking him up on the defensive end. So I'm looking at it, and I'm not even mad at Giannis. I'm not mad at the Bucks. I'm mad at Big Perk for letting people trick me to picking Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks, knowing I should know better than to go against Kevin Durant, who's, by the way, not only the best scorer the game has ever seen, he's the best player in the league right now.
He certainly looks that way at this moment. And they're doing it without James Harden right now, PJ, who in theory is coming back. So I hate to ask the question this way about what we all thought might be the best series of the entire postseason. But is this already over?
No, it's not over yet. They got one more shot. Series change from game to game. Perk knows that better than anybody. If I'm Mike Budenholzer, deep in my heart, I don't feel good right now because they were terrible for two games, and they were terrible on both ends, offensively and defensively. But the series can change completely with a win in game three. They win game three, then you start talking about, hey, we're at home. Three-point shooting, the game started with Kyrie knocking down a three. There it was right there, but the passing was great. There's KD with a beautiful pass to Brown inside going to the basket. They moved the ball so well, offensive boards. They out-rebounded them on the boards, more second-chance points. What'd they do when they got a turnover? Coast to coast, stop on a dime, Kyrie knocks it down. They were the better team in every which way. Look at the extra pass right there. That ends the quarter. It started with a three. It ended with a three. Game's over right there for all practical purposes. Going back to Milwaukee, the building's not going to change anything. Has to be a different Bucks team. They've got to defend. They've got to stop the penetration. The penetration's killing them. Steve Nash is only using eight players. He's coming off the bench with Shamet and Mike James and Nick Claxton. And when KD and Kyrie don't score, which is anytime they want to so far, they beat him with penetration, they force help, they make a pass. Perk made a living. His guy went to help, he got the offensive rebound. Anytime they miss, they're there for the offensive board.
PJ, so quickly, what's the adjustment? Give me the one thing you're changing if you're Mike Budenholzer going into game three.
Defensively, they got to guard the three-point line better, and they have to stop taking the ball out of bounds every possession. They got to get going down court, get Giannis in the open court, get some things happening in transition, and make some three-point shots. They're just not shooting the ball well at all. I credit Brooklyn's defense. Nobody talks about it. Very underrated in the playoffs.
And Big Perk, last word here. If you're a member of that team, look, you and I are sitting here both saying, well, this thing is over, but you can't do it if you're a member of that Milwaukee team. So if you're on that team and you're a leader, what are you saying to all your teammates going into game three?
It's been fun, fellas. And here's why. because my grandfather always told me, Greeny and PJ, coach, it's not what you do, it's how you do it. And I can understand that these games were close and the Milwaukee Bucks were losing. But to be getting smacked down in the fashion that they're getting beat, in the fashion that the Nets are playing, they are playing street ball right now and just having fun out there. No resistance. I don't know how you recover from this. I can understand if we lost, if I was on the team, if the Milwaukee Bucks lost by two or maybe 1 point, but they're losing by 20. They're losing by, like last night, what, 29 or 30, 40, 50. 39. I mean, like, this is the second round of the playoffs. So, to me, I never been in this position where I've been down 0-2 in two blowout games. So I don't know what to tell myself. It's been fun.
That's a great motivational speech. Get up. All right, guys. It's been fun. Enjoy the summer. Stay close, fellas. Much more as we continue. In the meantime, oh, what a weekend we have coming your way. We got soccer, NBA, UFC. We got the Euro matchup between Turkey and Italy Friday afternoon with Belgium and Russia going at it on ABC. Then game three of the West semis between the Clippers and Jazz is 8:30 Eastern. And then cap it Saturday night, UFC 263 on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. Now that is a lineup. As we continue, 2020 was a season to forget for Zeke Elliott. Was it a blip or a sign of things to come? We'll answer that question next. Get up on ESPN. Come on, get up.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
We are back on Get Up, and uncertainty surrounds America's team, the Dallas Cowboys. Dak Prescott coming back from a compound fracture and dislocation of his right ankle. He's got his big contract. He's under terms now through 2024, so no issues there. But the questions are on defense. Dallas allowing 34 passing touchdowns and over 2,500 rushing yards in Mike McCarthy's first season, both of which rank among the worst in franchise history. And then there's Ezekiel Elliott, who had career lows in rushing yards and yards per rush last year. He enters his age 26 season in 2021, and with all this optimism surrounding the Cowboys, he remains a question mark. And so, Teddy Bruschi, I'm going to start with you on this one here, because yesterday as we were talking about who's the most important player in Dallas besides Dak, everyone was talking about defense, and then Jeff Darlington jumped in and said, hey, how about Zeke Elliott? So what do you think, Teddy? Does Zeke Elliott bounce back with a huge year, yes or no?
I don't think Zeke has the huge year. I just don't think Zeke's the star anymore in Dallas. It has to be Dak. Dak has to be the one that throws for 4,000, 5,000 yards and has all the numbers to use CeeDee Lamb and Cooper and all these great receivers that they have. That's the way this offense evolves. A running back gets old, an offensive line gets old, and you have the quarterback still. The quarterback that can get rid of the football quickly and make good decisions and be a star. Defensively, I talked about Dan Quinn being important. Yes, I mean, they were 21st in defensive efficiency last year. Just get up to being 12, 13. If you're a Dallas Cowboy fan, just watch your defensive efficiency. If they raise it, they should be a good football team competing for the NFC East. And if Dak is that star that I think he can be, that combined with a better, somewhat better defense, then you start to talk about championships, and maybe that's possible.
All right, so we'll talk about the defense in a second. But, Tim, when the Cowboys have done their winning with Dak as their quarterback, the truth is their offense has been run-heavy. It has been based a lot on balance and on Zeke. Can it still – I mean, I know Dak has the money now, but that doesn't mean it changes the way that you should try to win. Do you believe this is still an offense that will be built around the running back?
I don't. I think Teddy's on the money with this. Even you just go back to 2019. Dak threw it nearly 600 times that year. I understand, you know, different staff, but it'll be revolved around Dak Prescott. Now, that being said, I think, you know, as Teddy's talking about defense efficiency, I do think that Ezekiel Elliott can be more efficient, you know, and I think that he can still be a 1,000-yard back. And when he plays with a good quarterback, which he should have good quarterback play out of Dak Prescott this year, you'll have less throwaways and more checkdowns. And now all of a sudden, maybe that's 20 more receptions on the season. And so, you know, the total offensive production that you see from Ezekiel Elliott, you know, won't come by way of being the leading rusher in the league, but maybe as a guy that is really contributing in multiple areas, you know, of their offense, including the passing game. So I do think that rushing numbers will be down. Productivity will still be good, but Teddy's on the money about it revolving around the quarterback.
And so, Diana, it will be about the defense, and what are you hearing from early signs?
Yeah, there's certainly been a change of guard there in Dallas with Dan Quinn taking over. Even going back to the Dak Prescott press conference after he signed that deal and listening to owner Jerry Jones mention Dan Quinn's name as much as he did, that actually put me on alert a little bit of thinking, wow, like Dan's already made an impact there that the owner keeps talking about him. Well, then as I've spoken to some of the players in Dallas about the effect that Quinn has had, I'm hearing nothing but great things in terms of how he's been able to keep these guys together. He's out there teaching. We've seen some cool videos of him out on the field. And look, when Dan Quinn took over the defense in Atlanta, they were ranked 27th when Mike Nolan was the defensive coordinator. He got them to 14. Mike Nolan, obviously the defensive coordinator in Dallas last year, they were ranked 28th. Can Dan Quinn have that same effect? Hembo giving me those stats today and helping us out. So I think the Dallas Cowboys defense can take a step forward just based on what I'm hearing already.
That much better, Teddy? Will they be? I got 30 seconds. Yes or no? Will the defense be that much better? And if so, should Dan Quinn be getting paid $10 million a year?
They only got one way to go, and that's up. And it's amazing just what a new voice can do sometimes. You'll be looking at this defense this year like, man, they were so bad this year. How can just someone come in and just fix them like that? It's because of the returning of the quarterback. It's because of players just sometimes they need the fresh voice. But this was a team that just got pushed around. Yards before contact per rush, they were worst in the league, meaning you got pushed off the ball. You didn't touch them until it was 3 yards down the field in terms of running backs. That's bad. So Dan Quinn can't make them tougher in terms of taking on blocks and making tackles. He can make them feel better in minicamp about, man, we're communicating now. We know what to do. It's like a family around here, man. It's so simple. It's great. Yeah, try to tackle somebody and take on blocks. That's when the regular season will come around. We'll see how they are.
Yeah.
That is exactly right. Hold that thought, guys, because we're going to go from the NFL to some sneaky big college football news yesterday. Nick Saban's not going anywhere. He's going to be in Tuscaloosa for the significant foreseeable future. Alabama extending Saban's contract through the 2028 season. He was hired in 2007. He's won 6 national championships and counting for the Crimson Tide. In all likelihood, over the course of his new extension, he will pass Bobby Bowden as the oldest coach to win a national championship. Bowden did that in 1999 at the age of 70. Saban will turn 70 this October. And it does, we just started kicking this around in the meeting this morning, so I said, call Paul Feinbaum and let's ask him this question. Saban is now signed till he's 77 years old, Paul. That's 8 more seasons. In that time, how many more championships will Alabama win?
I'm going to go with 3, and I know that will upset Alabama fans, Greeny, who don't think they'll ever lose again. But think about this for a second. Nick Saban's greatest weakness was his age a couple of years ago. When he turned 70, which he'll do in October, Kirby Smart, Jimbo Fisher, Ed Ogeron, everyone was going to use that against him. Now, Greeny, think about this. On Halloween, when Nick Saban turns 70, he's going to look young all of a sudden. 70? Hey, he's going to coach to 77 or 78 or maybe 80 or 90 or who knows what. And that has he has taken that off the table. No, you cannot use his age against him because not only is he the greatest coach of all time, he's still the greatest coach today. He's recruiting at a record pace, and he's making $8 or $9 million a year. Greeny, if he was on Wall Street, he'd be making $150 million a year, maybe even more. He's the most underpaid, undervalued coach in the history of sports.
I'm with you. Very quickly, over, under, will he wind up coaching longer than his entire deal or not as long?
I think he has set the end now. He said yesterday in a statement that he's going to step down at some point at the end of this contract. So I think he will ride it out. You don't know what's going to happen next. We saw that last week with Mike Krzyzewski. But I think Nick Saban believes today he'll be there at the end of this contract.
And I do, too. I don't think he's going anywhere anytime soon. Paul Feinbaum, the best. Thanks for jumping in here, Paul. Always good to see you.
Thank you.
Oh, by the way, you're looking for baseball tomorrow night? This is the place to see it. We got the Royals in Anaheim taking on Shohei Ohtani and the Angels. It's final game of a three-game series. Coverage starts 9:30 Eastern. Brad Keller and Griffin Canning will be the starting pitchers in that game. As we continue, Tom Brady and the Bucks back on the practice field. What are they working on? Sal Palantonio live in Tampa. He'll join us as we get up with you on ESPN.